Good morning. Thank you all for being here. Before we start, I want to start off by saying a few words of congratulations to all the graduates. Blake, from bonding over paper airplanes in the back of Ms. Somerville's Latin class to doing shooting together, I've greatly appreciated being your friend. I know you'll do great things in your future. Hail Southern and GATA. And if you don't know what that means, ask Mark Wood after the service, and I'm sure he'll be glad to tell you. Layla, who wasn't able to make it today. It was great growing up in this church with you and growing in our faith together through summer camps, and I'm so happy that you've come back to Vineville to worship with us. Congratulations. Kate, I've enjoyed growing up with you here at Vineville and at Stratford. You're truly one of the kindest people I know. I know that you'll spread your positivity in Athens. Congratulations, and this hurts, but go Dawgs. Abby, we've grown up together in this church, and I know it's going to be hard to make it through without you. Thank you for always being with me, being there for me through thick and thin, no matter what. Go Nighthawks. Charlie, there's no better way for me to describe my relationship with you than like brothers. From our hour-long conversations in the parking lot on Wednesday nights to the phone calls whenever one of us doesn't come to church, I've always appreciated the way you care for me. Go Owls and Hootie Hoo. Drew and Nick, congratulations from making it to a new stage in your life. I know the transition might be difficult, but pray that God will give you guidance. Congratulations. Today, I'll be reading from the 31st chapter of Proverbs, verses 27 through 29. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible, I'll give you a second to flip through it. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today is your day, mothers. You spend all other 364 days of the year working as hard as you can to provide for your kids and your family, but you only get one day dedicated to you. But why? Why aren't all the other days more suited for buying flowers or finding something your mom likes in her favorite color and giving it to her? Why are mothers remembered on all the other days with less reverence, even being constantly insulted with the numerous variations of the yo mama joke? I propose that we don't focus all our attention and all our affection on one day of the year, but carry that same energy of Mother's Day every day. Mothers, I think you truly have the hardest job in the world. I was reminded of this last night by my aunt showing me a meme describing how hard it was to manage being a successful mother, a successful employee, a successful wife, all while remaining sane. Motherhood is described in the Bible as a gift from God, with Psalm 127, verse 3, saying that offspring is a reward from the Lord. But I know sometimes this gift can feel like a white elephant. Dr. Benjamin Spock says in the best-selling book of the 20th century, the common sense book of baby and child care, that parents should trust their instincts in rearing their children. But how can you trust your instincts when you're getting advice from all angles? TV says one thing, the news says another, and even world-renowned good influence and poet Willie Nelson tells you not to let your babies grow up to pick guitars and drive old trucks. I think we can all admire our mother's strength and resilience to tune out all the noise from around the world and do everything they can to provide for their children in their own way. I know I've been going for a little bit, and y'all are probably ready to go to SNS or Janine's or wherever you go. I see Dr. Tucker's down here about to make a break for the door. So give me like a few minutes and I'll land this plane. The scripture that I read from emphasizes not only their children, but also their husbands giving thanks to their wives. So husbands, I know sometimes quality time gets thrown out by a busy schedule, but go take your wives out to a nice dinner sometime. Take care of the house and let her have some time off. Let her know how much you love her and appreciate her with your words and actions, especially on Mother's Day, but not only on Mother's Day, on all the other days of the year. Children, all I ask is that you say thank you to a mother today and let them know you appreciate them and all their hard work. They deserve it more than anyone. They love you more than you can ever fathom, and doing something as simple as a hug will make them feel that love in return. Mothers are truly a gift. Without them, we literally would not be here today. So tell a mother you love them. Amen? Please pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for the gift of mothers. We know that you instill a sense of care into them and give them your love. We would be truly lost without their guidance that comes from you. In your name, amen.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be able to be up here again and give another sermon to y'all. That's something I never guessed I would have said at all, but here we are for round two. So hopefully I don't disappoint y'all, especially Charlie J, who's called me Reverend for a year now. So For my sermon last year, I loved the idea of doing the Mother's Day themed one. I had a lot more in my head to talk about with that topic. And in doing so, and without meaning to, I conveniently gave myself the opportunity to talk to y'all about times of transition this year. What a perfect fit for my life right now, with all that I have going on, and all the change that's happening all around me. But as I was thinking about this sermon, I didn't have much. What do I do? How many times have I asked myself that question? I couldn't give an estimate. For 7 years of my life, that's 40% of it, I've been at Mount DeSales. For 14 years, that's almost 80% of my life, I've been going to school. And for 18 years, that is 100% of my life, I've known my sister as Annabelle Whitehead. And in August, all of that will change. Looking at it this way is probably not the best way. It's a little blunt, but the foundation of my life, the things that I have that have been consistently there, are all changing. It hit me walking out of my house one day that I wouldn't be living there in 3 months. That's insane. As I got closer to graduation, there was a lot of excitement, but also just feeling weird. I'd known for a while what college I was going to, and nothing beats summertime, especially when there's no summer work for school for the first time in 7 years. So with all this excitement for what's next and the break that I'd have, what was the feeling? I wasn't sad as some of my classmates, not because I didn't enjoy my time, but I was ready for what's next. I wasn't glad to leave, though. I truly cherished the moments I had and the memories I got to make. I wasn't scared of what lied ahead. I knew exactly what lied ahead and had for some time. So what was this feeling that I couldn't get over? It was nothing. In the most literal sense, I was feeling nothing. If my heart was a little pie chart, then the school is over and your life is changing part, it wasn't there. A slice was taken. I was empty there. Now, it took me a second to get this, but it's awesome. Let me explain that. What has been consistently going on in my life is all changing, which is scary, but also means that there are infinite possibilities for me. As Doc from Back to the Future says at the end of the third film, your future is whatever you make it, so make it a good one. This is one of my favorite quotes because of the freedom that it gives you. As you go out into your life, and I mean you, as in each and every one of you, because it is absolutely never too late to make your future a good one. You should strive for your future to be a little better at a time. I want to take a second to make the preacher happy and talk about a book. This book is my absolute favorite. I read it last year in my English class in an assignment where I got to pick a book to read. And I can confidently say that this book genuinely changed my life and my perspective on life. This book is Into the Wild by John Cracker. If you've ever read this book, your takeaway is probably different from mine, as my college counselor said mine was a very intriguing way of looking at it. Into the Wild is a true story that follows a boy named Chris McCandless, who drops out of college, sells all of his belongings, and lives out of his car while traveling the country. Now, don't worry, this isn't my plan. But I do still think there's a lot to take away from his story. He broke contact with his parents when he left because he knew they wouldn't let him do it. As he traveled, his car eventually got stuck in the mud, and he left it and decided to go down to Mexico. He got into Mexico, and he canoed down a river for miles until it dumped him back out into the ocean. And he went back up the coast all the way to America. When he got back, he started to switch between going places he liked and getting small jobs here and there to make some money, all with one goal in his mind, Alaska. He wanted to go camp in Alaska with nothing and live completely off the land. Now, up until this point, he heard a lot of, you shouldn't be doing this, and that didn't stop when he went to Alaska. But that never stopped him. He went to Alaska and lived there for nearly 4 months before, sadly, he ate a mushroom that led to him becoming sick and dying from dehydration. Although his story ends with a sad ending, it's still a story of chasing dreams and not letting a single person stop you. Chris McCandless lived out his dream, even with everyone he met telling him it probably wasn't a good idea. And even though he died, and maybe they were right, how many people can say that they've experienced the beauty of Earth like he got to? I am inspired by Chris to live my life and not let others kill my dreams just because it doesn't fit their narrative of what life should look like. Now, I'm leaving one thing out. There is one person who you should let affect your plans, and that's God. But do know that his plans are purely good for you, so there's no need to stress about it. And know that in all of your dream chasing, He will be right with you, making those crazy dreams feel more achievable. He's always in your corner. And a verse that I feel portrays this is Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." This verse gives comfort that God will always be there right by your side. I've got God, and God's got me. With this, understand that your crazy dreams, they're meant to be chased, and it's never too late to make it happen. Why would God give us one limited life on this planet? Because it's special, and we should make every day that we get count and make it a memorable one. As former Florida State coach Willie Taggart, but more famously Chuck Whitehead, says, "Have a good day if you want to." So go have a good day and make your future a good one, because we only have one opportunity. So don't waste the gift that God's given you on this wonderful and beautiful world.